So I'm going to have a look at what the experts are saying for the markets in 2025. I'll have a look at what they said about the markets in 2024, this time last year, and this will give us some context on how accurate these experts actually are. I'll finish off with my thoughts on what this means for us all as investors, and specifically as pension investors. So here's a summary of the expert predictions and tips for positioning yourself for 2025 and beyond. And we'll start with JP Morgan Chase. And they're optimistic, expecting continued growth globally. They also believe that the outlook for treasuries is actually varied, and they project that the S&P 500 will reach 6,500 by the end of 2025. They say that American exceptionalism will support the US dollar and bolster US risky assets. Now, let's pause there and let's talk about American exceptionalism. This has been a hot topic lately, and it's easy to see why, really. The US economy and markets have had an incredible run over the past decade. I mean, since 2010, the S&P 500 has delivered a whopping 590% return, and that far outpaced the 150% from the MSCI Europe and the 120% from the FTSE 100. And it's not just the stock market that's been impressive. Higher interest rates on bonds have also attracted capital from regions with lower or even negative interest rates. And this has put upward pressure on the dollar's value. Now, many investors are heavily invested in US assets, even though the valuations are now at really seeing levels. They are exceptional. But will this continue for the next decade? Is corporate America really that much better than corporate Europe or corporate UK? It's true that US companies have seen some fantastic growth earnings, with S&P 500 company earnings per share rising 290% since 2010, compared to just 60% for the MSCI Europe. Europe does face some difficulties, particularly in innovation and their ability to scale up companies. However, there are some reasons to question this "they're just better" narrative that supports an overweight position in US stocks. I'll give you my top four reasons. Firstly, if US companies are more profitable or faster growing and markets are efficient, that should already be reflected in the price and shouldn't really create further excess returns going forward. Secondly, the US has also been exceptional in less than compelling ways. I mean, government debt has exploded during this period of outperformance, far more than Europe. And since 2010, the US has accrued $21 trillion worth of debt, boosting spending and corporate earnings. But they can't go on repeating this forever. Thirdly, the expansion of profit margins in the US is unlikely to continue. Corporate America has done a great job of grabbing a large slice of the income pie, but workers are going to demand higher pay if this continues, and this could lead to industrial action. Fourthly, technology stocks have played a significant role in driving this performance. The rise in US tech stocks accounts for 40% of the S&P 500 return since 2010. I mean, excitement about AI and other technologies has pushed the valuation of the top US companies to 30 times their expected earnings for the coming year. And this compares to 14 times for MSCI Europe. This tech valuation premium will inevitably close, either because the non-tech companies' valuations rise or tech companies will struggle to make expected returns on their investments. Historically, the market has overestimated the future returns of the innovators, and it's underestimated the returns of the adapters. Now, let's think of telecoms, where the returns on telecoms haven't been nearly as good as the underlying platforms that actually use them telecoms. So given the US concentration in tech stocks, a rotation of performance away from tech is likely to coincide with a rotation in geographical stock performance. So as capital flows to new opportunities elsewhere, this could also weaken the dollar. To be clear, I'm not suggesting the US is about to experience a decade of underperformance. However, I will question some of the underpinnings of this American exceptionalism and be cautious about being overvalued based on the last 10 years worth of growth. I mean, investors who haven't rebalanced will naturally find themselves with a pretty large overweight in their US holdings currently. If you allocated 50% of your wealth to US stocks in 2010 and the other half to the rest of the world, that has now become 75% weighted to the US. At its very least, it's time for some rebalancing. So let's get back to those expert predictions we started with. Next, I want to talk about Goldman Sachs, and these are also pretty optimistic, and they're forecasting a 10% gain for the S&P 500 in 2025. They expect 5% revenue growth, 2.5% real GDP growth, and 2.4% inflation. They think that tariffs and tax cuts are going to balance each other out. Next, we'll talk about Touchstone Investments, and they suggest that growth stocks may underperform in 2025 due to their current high valuations paired with slower earnings growth. They note that these stocks may need to pause and allow earnings to actually align with their own valuations. I mean, they also point out that the concentration of value within stock indices, with a few mid-cap companies comprising much of their value, a pullback in these companies could significantly impact the index. Next, we'll look at Vanguard, and they've taken a slightly different approach, and they're predicted 2.1% GDP growth, 2.5% core inflation for 2025. They actually see bonds as a good risk-reward option, and note that while US returns outlooks are cautious, the range of outcomes is broad, and valuations aren't reliable. So there was a survey of 15 Wall Street firms, and overall they resulted in an average S&P 500 projection of 6,600 by the end of 2025. And this represents a gain of approximately 9% from recent levels. The lowest projection came from UBS, and they expect the S&P 500 to conclude at about 6,400, an increase of just 5%. That was Schwab. Consider the outlook for US markets to be challenging, and predictions are going to be really uncertain about what 2025 will bring. They comment on the Trump administration's proposals, which have sparked intense debate, and the uncertainty surrounding them will impact markets, no doubt, along with various associated factors. And this really makes it difficult to forecast the impact on both the domestic and global conditions. However, Schwab do acknowledge that the current economy does appear strong and healthy. I mean, while generally optimistic, they emphasise that attempting to turn the market is actually, as we know, impractical. Instead, use the markets to provide guidance and generally a sense of direction, really. So how do we make sense of all these statistics and numbers and forecasts? Well, you can see that just amongst this limited group of examples, there are differences of opinion. There are, interestingly, some similarities, though. Most of these experts seem to be predicting that the S&P 500 will advance 9 or 10% in the coming year. Is that enough for you? It's not what you've expected over the last 2 years with, you know, more than 20% return each year. But there is a perfectly good chance that they're going to be wrong. I mean, one explanation for the similarity might be that these firms don't want you guys on a limb. They don't want to be the oddball. At least if they get it wrong, everyone else has got it wrong as well. So let's consider, for example, all the wrong predictions from a year ago. So one firm expected the S&P 500 worst crash since 2008 and the beginning of a recession. Just for those who haven't been keeping up, the S&P 500 was up 26% this year to date, and there's been no recession. JP Morgan said that equities are now richly valued with volatility near historical lows, while geopolitical and political risks remain elevated. And we expect lackluster global earnings growth with downside for equities from current levels. Well, that clearly hasn't happened either. And Morgan Stanley expected a generally flat stock market for 2024, which again was way out. So we're investors, we like to invest our pensions. What should we do? Well, if you're not comfortable having as much money invested in stocks as you do now, that's the position I'm in, then, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to consider moving some of my money out of equities in 2025. I understand that the stock market is very volatile and there'll always be corrections and crashes, but the market has always gone on to recover from every one of these drops. And it goes on to set new highs. This is why I only want to invest in stocks with my long-term money, money that I won't be using for the next 5, maybe 10 years. I mean, for the long-term investments for my money, it's hard to beat the wealth builder potential of the stock market. It's where my long-term money is going to live. It's just always performed better than other investment types. We don't have to chase the market overpriced growth stocks to build your wealth. A simple index fund, such as one that tracks the S&P 500, maybe the FTSE 250, or some good world indices, cheap good world indices, passive investments, you know, they're great. The stock market has delivered double-digit gains for multiple years in a row, and this may continue, but in anticipation of an eventual pullback, I'm going to keep some of my portfolio in cash, specifically in money markets, so that, you know, I can pounce on any opportunities that materialize. And whenever I mention this in the comments, people just say, oh, Eric, you're timing the market again. You're telling us not to time the market, but you're doing it yourself. Don't fret too much about what the market will do in 2025. Instead, focus on the decades ahead. And if you're saving and investing for retirement, say in 2045, how the market performs in 2025, it's not going to matter. It'll be a blip. You know, don't worry about it. However, if you are retiring in the next few years, the performance of the stock market in 2025 will be very, very important to you. Now, on this channel, I'll be keeping up with all the latest news and posting it as soon as it appears. So, you know, if you want to subscribe to the channel, then I'll do my best to get any important information filtered and brought to you as quickly as I can. Now, listen, good luck for 2025. I think we're all going to need it, but don't worry also, and invest for the long term. Indices are great. As someone once wise said, index and chill.